Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, and Verse 13 till 17. But before we dive into this nectarine class, I would like to share a brief introduction about today's speaker, His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji. So His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji, a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, is a monk, mentor, and a spiritual author. An electronics and communications engineer graduate, he worked as a software engineer in a prominent multinational software corporation, seeing the prevalent problems with stress, depression, addiction, and overall misdirection, all due to a lack of spirituality. He felt inspired to dedicate his life to the cause of sharing the spiritual wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhuji is the author of the world's only Gita daily feature, wherein he writes daily a 300-word inspirational reflection on a verse from Bhagavad Gita. As of now, he has written over 1,700 Gita meditations that are posted on www.gitadaily.com. He also answers questions by seekers on his site, www.thespiritualscientist.com, where he has written over 3,500 audio answers and several hundred articles. He travels all over the world from Australia to America, giving talks on spiritual subjects in universities such as Princeton and Cambridge, and companies such as Intel and Microsoft.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I think we can also read the verses. Is that okay, Shyamagauri Mataji? Okay, Prabhuji has not joined yet, but normally we read the verses for Prabhuji.
Yeah, yes, Mataji, but it's not 7:20 yet.
Okay, Mataji, we'll wait.
Yeah, we can continue introductions.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, reading from Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 13 through 17. Natasya, sorry. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 13. Natasya sampada sarva mahishyo vamalochana sarva bhaumasya bhuscheyam abhavan priti hetava. Translation. His queens all had beautiful faces and attractive eyes, yet neither his opulence, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor, were the source of happiness for him. Text 14. Tasye kadatu bhavanam angira bhagavan rishi lokan anucharan etan upagachadyadrichaya. Translation. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe, without engagement, by his sweet will, he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Text 15. Tam pujayitva vidivat pratyuttanarhanadibhi kritathi hayam upasetat sukhasinam samahit. Translation. Chitraketu immediately stood up from his throne and offered him worship. He offered drinking water and eatables, and in this way performed his duty as a host to the great guest. When the rishi was seated very comfortably, the king, restraining his mind and senses, sat on the ground at the side of the rishi's feet. Text 16. Maharshishtam upasinam prasravyavayanatam shitau pratipuja maharaja samabhasyedam abravit. Translation, O King Parikshit, when Chitraketu, bent low in humility, was seated at the lotus feet of the sage congratulated him for his humility and hospitality. The sage addressed him in the following words. Text 17. Angiravacha apitena anamayam swasti prakriti nam tathatmana yatha prakriti bhir guptaha puman raja cha saptabhi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The great sage Angira said, My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. When the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. Purport. As it is quoted by Sridhar Swami in his Bhagavatam commentary, Swami Amatyo Janapada Durga Dravina Sanchaya Dando Mitram Chatasyaita Sapta Prakritayo Mata. A king is not alone. He first has his spiritual master, the supreme guide. Then comes his ministers, his kingdom, his fortification, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or allies. If these seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. Similarly, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin Yata Dehe, the living entity, the soul, is within the material coverings of the Mahatattva, ego, and Pancha Tanmatra, the five objects of sense gratification. When these seven are in proper order, the living entity is in a mood of pleasure. Generally, when the associates of the king are quiet and obedient, the king can be happy. Therefore, the great sage Angira Rishi inquired about the king's personal health and the good fortune of his seven associates. When we inquire from a friend whether everything is well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but also with his family, his source of income, and his assistants or servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy. Hare Krishna. I have to see if Prabhuji has joined the call.
Prabhuji is joining Mataji.
Okay, Mataji. We'll pause.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai ho.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Dalapa. I was just keeping everybody engaged.
Thank you for that, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here.
I also joined, thank you. I also joined through my tablet.
Okay. Can you make the co-host? You're done. Thank you. So now, Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sorry. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So today, I'll speak on the topic broadly of how concern for others' material life is not always material. Material means mundane. So, how concern, when we express concern for others, for their material life, that doesn't mean that we are being in material consciousness. That can also be spiritual. So, the context here is that we have the sages. A sage is talking with a king. And we will see here how contextually things are so different. There is another celebrated conversation associated with the Ramayana, where when the sage comes to a king, there we have Vishwamitra and Dasharatha talking. And the primary question is that is discussed over there is, how are you progressing in your conquest of rebirth? So, progress in conquest, Punarbhan Janma Jayata. Now, that is a relevant question for a transcendentalist, for a person who has more or less renounced the world and has focused on higher pursuits. And that is also the ultimate question that everybody has. But that is not always the appropriate question to ask in all situations. We'll see, whereas in that conversation, the question is different. Here, what is the question is, broadly, you can paraphrase the question, are your material things in order? So he's asking a king, and there is a specific technical analysis about what all material things need to be in order for a king to be, for a kingdom to be in order and for a king to be happy. And there are fairly strong words used over here. So there's a significant difference here. And this difference depends on context. That's the point I'm making. How contextual things are in scripture. So, here we have Chitraketa being asked, are the material things in order? And the verse says that actually you cannot function properly. These are needed for existing itself. These are needed for happiness.
So, when we talk with each other, we can, when we inquire about each other's well-being, now what does it mean? The Bhagavatam is spoken to a person who is about to die. And yet, there are many questions, many occasions where the questions seem to be about material welfare. So, it's not just here, the 10th canto when Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev meet. At that time, Vasudev congratulates Nanda Maharaj on having a son. Now, of course, that son is Krishna. And in that sense, it's transcendental. But in another sense, it is actually not just Krishna. It is a part of normal human etiquette, cultured etiquette or cultured behavior to inquire about a person's well-being. And it means you inquire about that person's family, that person's financial situation. So that is that person's health, person's relatives. So that's just a part of a normal human inquiry. And that is reflected in the Bhagavatam. So we may say, but all this is temporary, all this is material. Isn't this prajalba? Are we wasting time? Shouldn't we just be focusing on Krishna? And shouldn't we be focusing on people's relationship with Krishna? Yes, we should. But how do we arrive there? That is very important. So I'll talk about 3 points in today's session, and I'll use the acronym REC. That when we are having a discussion with people, whether it is a one-to-one discussion, and especially if it's a one-to-one discussion with someone whom we are meeting, or it is also a general discussion when we are trying to share spiritual wisdom in a social context, not in a formal teaching context. If we are teaching Shastra, then we need to focus on teaching Shastra. But if you're trying to build a relationship with someone, generally speaking, so the it is that if we consider people are multi-level, say there is the soul, there is the mind, and there is the body. Now, say this is for applies for us. This applies for others also. Everybody is a soul, a combination of soul, mind, and body. And the thing is that when connection is to be established, you know, a connection at the level of the soul is actually very difficult to establish. You know, first we need to connect with people. It's much easier to connect with people at the level of the body, or even at the level of the mind. What do I mean by connect at the level of the body? Say, for example, if we are from the same region, if we share the same language, or at the level of the mind, you know, we share similar interests, or we have similar hobbies, or we have even if some similar, say, educational background, similar profession, so specialization. Then, now the specialization, two people are both working in software, two people are both studying law. But that, it's much easier to link at that level. And, oh, you are a soul, I am a soul, and that's why we are related. Yes, that is the relationship. And we could say we connect with people at a spiritual level, and it's completely beyond this. We are all centered on Krishna. That may be true, but even our connection with Krishna is often, you know, we can connect with Krishna nicely, based on the case of Krishna nicely. But say if you're talking about Krishna, if people share some similar material interests or material commonalities, it's much easier to connect. If somebody speaks about Krishna in our mother tongue, it's much more easier to connect with us and connect with maybe even with Krishna at that level. So even for a spiritual connection, actually speaking, so the point I'm making here is that before we connect at a spiritual level, we need to connect at a human level. If there is no human level connection, then the spiritual level connection simply appears simply it appears it just appears irrelevant, it appears abstract. So we are connected with people at a human level, and as our existence is multi-level. So R, the point I was making is R is relatability or relevance. That generally speaking, the relatability of a person is determined by things at the level of the body, at the level of the mind. And in general, whatever we speak, relevance is established by having a connection. So we will see over here that naturally discussion will go to a spiritual level, but it takes time. First, the material concern is there. The material concern is to be addressed. In this case, Chitraketu does not have a son. And that is what is causing him great, not just distress or unhappiness, it's causing him utter agony to the point where he feels his life is pointless. And at this point, when that concern is completely consuming his consciousness, then that is where concern has to be shown. So for example, if we consider this is the consciousness of a person that we are speaking to. Now, if their consciousness is filled with some concern, it might be just an immediate concern, it might be a material concern, but that has filled their consciousness. That now we might be wanting to offer them their ultimate concern, that is Krishna. But now say, if we are here and we are trying to talk about the ultimate concern with them, but this ultimate concern will not find any place in their consciousness. Because their consciousness is also filled. It's already filled with something else. So, in one sense, when if we want to connect with people effectively, for the connection to be effective, to connect with people, what does it mean? Connect with people means that we should be able to connect, say that those people are on the left side, and say, if that person is here, and say we are here on the other side. Now, it is for us to be have the expertise to connect their immediate concern with our concern for them, which is often centered on the ultimate concern. So this requires expertise. So if we only speak about if somebody is going through some distress in life and you speak about philosophy, somebody says, oh, you know, I lost my job. And you tell them, ultimately, you're going to lose everything in life. Life is temporary. Why are you worried about losing your job? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Well, that is true at one level. But what do you expect me to do? You expect to starve till death? Do you want me to take a vow of starvation and keep chanting and die till then? And you expect me to do the same for my family? That's ridiculous. So if we don't come off as, if we don't seem to be addressing their immediate concern, then we will be irrelevant. We will come off as uncaring. We'll come off as uncompassionate. So sometimes, if we consider this to be one, then two and three. So generally for communication to be effective, for communication to lead to a connection, it will have to begin to some extent with one. One means that we focus on their immediate concern. And then it is our expertise to find some intersection between the immediate and the ultimate. And then over a period of time, they will become interested in the ultimate concern. And then we may not have to talk about the immediate. So now in Srila Prabhupada, he focused on the ultimate concern. But Srila Prabhupada, when he would meet devotees, his disciples, he would often ask them, how is your health? Almost every in his letters, hope this meets you in good health. Prabhupada says, you are ever well wisher, but hope this meets you in good health. So at a human level, if we are to connect, we need to appreciate the immediate concerns. Now, that does not necessarily mean we have to make it our full-time business to try to solve their immediate concerns. Sometimes some immediate concerns cannot be solved. It's not that somebody has lost a job. We have a reservoir of a million jobs and we can suddenly give them a job. No, but just expressing some empathy, some concern, some recognition of where they are and what is occupying their mind is itself essential to show some level of humanity. And it's not just a matter of show. It's actually, we, in the name of being spiritual, we shouldn't stop being human. So our spirituality, it is meant not to extinguish our humanity. That means there are normal human concerns, and we're not meant to, it's not meant to be extinguished. I don't care for you. If somebody is sick and you say, you're not the body, why bother about the body? Don't you realize you're not the body? Well, that would be hard-hearted. That would be alienating. So it is, our spirituality is never meant to extinguish our humanity. There is a basic human concern that is there. And that very much has to be something that is recognized and appreciated. To the extent we recognize this, to that extent we will be, it, what it is meant to do is, actually it is meant to expand our humanity to include, we have a basic human concern to extend to our spirituality. So we see the human as connected with the spiritual. So here we see this happening, that is asking about his ordinary life. And from that, gradually the discussion will, it will take time, but it will extend to the spiritual level in due course. Expand our humanity to extend to our spirituality. And Srila Prabhupada himself talks about realization. So he explains realization in many different ways, but the key definition that he has given in the first canto, in the Narad Vyasa Samvad, and he says, it means to explain the message in a way that is interesting for the audience. That means if this is the audience, this is the person whom we are talking to, and this is the message of scripture. This is what we are trying to share with others. So realization means that we should be able to show, we should be able to show where this message intersects. So this is our realization. Okay, I have got this message, and these are the audience that I'm speaking to. This is the person I'm talking with. So how does the message of scripture relate with the people whom I'm speaking to? So if we are distributing Bhagavad Gita, the street. So if we meet somebody who is a student, we may say that, oh, this can help you to focus your mind and study better. If you're talking about parents, you may say that, this can help you to form better samskars for your children. You know, to become a better parent, to give better impressions to your children as they grow up. So if somebody is a leader in a profession, you can say this is a conversation between leaders. It is about decision making, how to make decisions that have huge consequences, how to see the big picture when making such decisions. So how to present the message in a way that is interesting to the audience. And Prabhupada uses the word interesting. Interesting here means interesting. What are their interests? What are they? Generally in communication, we talk about NIC, what people's needs, interests, and concerns. So to the extent we can address people's needs, interests, concerns, to that extent, our conversation becomes relatable. Our conversation becomes relevant. Now, it's important to understand that this is not just being sentimental or strategic. You might do this as, people and mundane consciousness. So we also have to do like that. But I'm uncompromising. I'll not do that. Is this being sentimental or is this simply being strategic? Strategic means, I cannot get there unless I go through here. So what to do? This is just some waste of time. I have to do it because that is the only way to get there. Well, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. If we have a very utilitarian attitude towards this, actually we need to see that this is also spiritual. Because ultimately, what is spiritual? That brings me to the second part of the discussion. I said I'll use the acronym REC. So REC. First R was relevance or relatability. The second E is effect or effectiveness. What this means is that at one level, how do we determine what is spiritual and what is material? Spiritual material differentiation, when we try to do it, there can be two ways of doing this differentiation. One is by constitution or content. So what is something made of? So for example, spiritual is made of Sat, Chit, Ananda. Whereas material is made of the Pancha Mahabhuta. It is made of the five material elements. And that is okay in terms of philosophical terms. But often we use it, make the difference in terms of application. And how is it being used? Srila Prabhupada, when he would use a sound system, he would say that this mic, is it material or is it spiritual? He says, it is being used in Krishna's service. So it is spiritual. It is something which has become spiritualized by the sound vibrations. That is, it is being used. So if something can be used in Krishna's service, then to devalue it, to dismiss it, that is actually, if to not see this application part, is Falgu Vairagya. So, Prapanchiktaya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna. So if we have Hari Sambandhi Vastuna, there are things which are connected with Hari, but we have Prapanchiktaya Buddhya. This is all mundane. Then that is Falgu Vairagya. So Falgu Vairagya is to not see the spiritual potential of things. So is it that the sound system is material till somebody speaks about Krishna to them? Krishna using that sound system. So say suppose we buy a refurbished sound system. And before we bought it, was it material? And now after we start using it, it's spiritual. And then if we have the same sound system, and sometimes we have got some friends or relatives or not devotees, we may use the sound system for a birthday party. And is it that one day, that previous evening when we had satsang program, that sound system was spiritual. And now when we are having a birthday party, it has become material? It's not like that. It is a matter of the vision of how it is being used. There is spiritual potential in everything. And to the extent we see the spiritual potential, we appreciate, it is our vision that is spiritual and that object becomes spiritualized thereby. So when in turn we consider the effect of something. So if talking with people about their immediate or material concerns, The effect of it is that it opens their hearts. It helps us bond better with them. It helps us. The effect is that people become more spiritually receptive. And that is desirable. That is what will actually be of influence. So it is. So Srila Prabhupada was asked, how do we know your followers? Prabhupada could have said, He was, of course, he was asked by a reporter. So he was asked basically, what is your followers' defining characteristic? That's what he's asking. How do we know your followers? Now, Prabhupada could have said so many things. He could have said they wake up in the morning, they chant 16 rounds, they follow the four regulative principles. Prabhupada could have given so many of devotional qualifications. But Prabhupada did not do that. What did Prabhupada say? He said that they are perfect gentlemen and ladies. So basically, Prabhupada gave more of behavioral, you could say almost it's sattvic behavioral. That they are cultured, they're gentlemanly, they behave in a way that is respectable, responsive, responsible. So that's sattvic. And in fact, this is what Prabhupada is saying. It is following what Krishna says. If we consider in the Gita, chapter 12, verses 13 to 20, where Krishna gives the characteristics of the devotees that endear a devotee to him. Krishna doesn't say over there, one who chants 16 rounds and worships his deities, one who goes to the holy places. No, Krishna says, one who is compassionate, one who does not agitate others by their speech, one who does not get agitated by others' actions, one who is calm, one who is helpful, one who is kind, one who is gentle, one who is expert, daksha. So Krishna, in one sense, is giving material characteristics. But that's why sometimes when we differentiate, say, this is spiritual and this is material. So the spiritual material differentiation itself is an inadequate differentiation. Because rather than thinking of it only as spiritual and material, yes, there is spiritual, but then within the material, there are many things. There is sattva, there is rajas, and then there is tamas. So if you consider sattva is quite close to spirituality. So you can say it's pro-spiritual. If we consider rajas, it is a little further away. It may be non-spiritual. Tamas may be anti-spiritual. So if we know somebody drinks alcohol and they had gone to a party where there's a lot of drinks. So when we meet someone, we don't ask, how delicious were the drinks that you had yesterday? That would be tamasic. We don't have to discuss that. But to consider everything material, to be just material, one thing alone, that's almost like a Mayavadi vision. Mayavadi vision is to reduce everything to a non-differentiated oneness. But the whole idea of Vaishnavism is to be able to differentiate. Mayavadi vision is to say everything is one. So everything is one. In this case, everything not directly connected with Krishna is material. That is also effectively a Mayavadi vision. So the idea is that everything is not equally Maya. There is different things. There are different levels of spiritual connectability in things. So to the extent we understand that, say when we are asking about a person's welfare, sattva guna is associated with maintenance. And if you're asking, how is your health? How is your family? How is your job? we are basically asking about a basic, at a basic human level. It's a sattvic culture inquiry. And that is what will help us to be effective. So it is that, because these material things affect our spirituality also. So not only is that these material things, they're applicable in the sense that material things can be used in Krishna's service, but also the material, even if you consider material and spiritual as a serious difference. But still, the point is that the material has an effect on the spiritual. If somebody has just lost their job, how effectively can they focus on their chanting at that? We can tell them to pray to Krishna, depend on Krishna. But that is a certain level of anxiety. If somebody is at home, their relationship is crumbling and some vital relationship is in a great state of conflict and uncertainty, at that time, you tell them to focus on Krishna. Yes, they can try to. Certainly, they should try to take shelter of Krishna at that time. But that has an effect. Maybe they need someone to talk with at that time. And then we provide them that it brings certain level of calmness. And then we can focus on Krishna. So the material affects the spiritual. One devotee once wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that he was serving Krishna big time. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that sleeping is just a waste of time. And he said, just focus on serving Krishna, sleep less. That Prabhupada did say that at times. But there's other times, Prabhupada writes in this letter to a devotee that if you don't take care of your health now, Prabhupada says that if you don't take care of your health now, you won't be able to serve Krishna in the future. Even if you are very enthusiastic, you won't be able to serve Krishna. Why? Because the body will have broken down. Prabhupada was completely dedicated to Krishna's service, but still Prabhupada took time to have massage every day, to go out for morning walks. He did what was required in his situation to take care of his health. So the material affects the spiritual. And that is why, and we need to be also not just dismiss, have a radical black and white. This is spiritual, this is material. And when I'm saying this, it is not just in a didactic sense. I have myself learned this the hard way. I've always been very philosophically interested, and I would just talk with people about philosophy. And if somebody's not interested in philosophy, I'd just not talk with them. But then I realized that not only were my relationships superficial, but I was also not being of effective service. Then I started observing, interacting with, I traveled sometime with senior devotees. When they would go to places, how they would not just in the past, I also traveled with devotees. But when I traveled with devotees, I would just hear their classes and then go to my room and do my work. But then I would spend after the classes, what do they do when they spend time? They go to somebody's house for prasad. I would observe, what do they do? And then I noticed that is the time when the major bonding happens. And so how we connect with people at a one-to-one human level is what actually leads to a connection at a spiritual level. So then I have revisited most of the interactions that Srila Prabhupada's disciples remember. Not all, but most, many. They are about Prabhupada's personal sweetness, his kindness, his humanity, his humility, his... And while Prabhupada is himself very saintly, but it's not necessarily how Prabhupada gives such a powerful class that is the sweetest memory for his disciples. If we have Prabhupada's memories, it is often these that enter into their hearts. So we see, so that brings us to the last point. C, I was talking about acronym, completeness. Completeness means that we can't say that if people are, say there's the body, there's the mind, and there's the soul. Mm-hmm. So if this is the person on this side and I am on this side, we can't say I'm concerned only for your soul. And I have no concern for your body. I have no concern for your mind. Because I am a spiritualist. That is an incomplete vision. It is completeness means to understand that the embodied soul, we are souls, but presently we are embodied souls. And that means the embodiment matters. Of course, the embodied soul matters more, no doubt. But the embodiment matters. And that is why in the same Vedic tradition, among the six Vedas, or six Vedic branches of knowledge, Upangas, we have one of them is Ayurveda. Why? Now we may say, and the Veda ischa sarvai rahameva vidyo. It's all meant for Krishna. Krishna, to know Krishna, yes, that is true. But the embodied condition also matters. And that is why there is a lot of analysis of the embodied condition to be complete. You're concerned about the soul, but you're also concerned about how the body and the mind can be harmonized with the soul. And for that, we need to understand the body and the mind. So if we consider what the Bhagavad Gita says, there is the, in the Western philosophy, there is the Greek doctrine, know thyself. So now at one level, the Gita talks about know thyself means to know yourself as the soul, know yourself as the Atma. But at another level, the Gita says know thyself means to know your Swabhava. So we understand we are Atma. And once we understand the Atma, there is spiritual harmony that comes by the practice of bhakti. But at bhakti, there also has to be material harmony. Material harmony means harmony with our psychophysical nature. And you can call it psychophysical nature is harmonized. So this is what Varnashram is about. Now, specifically, this is the whole idea is Varnashram is that system, material or is it spiritual? When you talk about the Varna, that is not related with the body. No, it is related with the body. I mean, the ashram is actually related with the body. Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Brahmachari, Sannyasi. This has got nothing to do with the soul. That's why Mahaprabhu famously says that, when he's talking about the spiritual level, he says, Naham Vipro Nachinarpati, Napi Vaisho Nashudru. He says, I don't belong to any of the ashramas. I don't belong to any of the varanas. Naham Varani Nachagrahapatir, Vanastho Yatirva. Kintu prodhyan nikhila paramananda parama purnamrutabde gopi bhartur padakamalayor dasa dasanu dasa. So we could say this is material. But it is material that is relevant for the spiritual. So there are only two verses, if you consider the repeated verses in the Gita. There are only two verses that are nearly repeated. One is 9.34, which is repeated 9.18.65. And that is Manmana Bhava. So this is about spiritual harmony. But the other verse that is repeated is, I think it is 335 and 1847. It is Krishna talks about how one should serve according to one's Swabhava. Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Paradharmat Swanushtitat. The second half is slightly different, but the Shreyan Swadharma. Krishna says, act according to your Swadharma, that is material harmony. So a complete vision is not dismissing the mundane. It is recognizing that the material has to be harmonized with the spiritual. When we have this understanding, then actually we are following the Bhagavad Gita fully. We are understanding. So when we are concerned about people's material things, how do we understand somebody's swabhava? Now we could go into astrology. Do we rely on something mystical? But if you want to simply understand somebody's swabhava, one or even our own swabhava, we can look at what concerns them the most. And often it's about the material life. So what if we, what way if we do something for them? That brings great appreciation from them. So somebody, we give them a book, new book to read, and they feel so happy. Oh, thank you so much. I really so much wanted to read this book. If that is their interest, then that probably indicate that they have a Brahmanical nature. If somebody, we give them an opportunity to do some service, and not just service, we give them some managerial service. Can you manage that? And they just become blossom. Oh, then that indicate that they have something like a Kshatriya nature. Rather than focusing so much on putting people into boxes, our focus is, okay, what is it that if we do something for them, they appreciate a lot? And if we don't do something for them, they complain a lot. They become very negatively affected. Essentially, they appreciate what is it that we do for them with a positive effect. What is a strongly negative effect? So by that, we can understand the Swabhava. Now, understanding Swabhava is an entirely different subject. But the point is, here we need to observe people and understand their material side. And that's how we'll be able to engage others in service to Krishna that is sustainable and satisfying for them. So in general, service according to Swabhava, it is satisfying for the person. All service is spiritually satisfying. But till when a person is at a spiritual level, it may not be immediately satisfying for them. And it is, if it's satisfying for them now, then they can sustain it and become sustainable. And that is why it's important as a part of a service to Krishna to understand people and help them understand themselves. And that means observing their material side, understanding their psychophysical nature. So I'll summarize. Our topic today was, why concern for people's material life is not always material. It doesn't have to be material. I use the REC acronym to explain this. The context was that here when a sage is coming to a king, the sage is actually asking about the king's material life. So R, I talk about it as relevance or relatability. So we need to connect with people at a human level before we can connect with them at a spiritual level. Realization means that we are able to present things in a way that is interesting to them. That means their ultimate interests and their image, the ultimate interests that we want to talk about need to be connected with the immediate interests that occupy their mind. That's relevance. And E is, when I talked about E, so the focus was on understanding that the effect that we can have greater effect. So when we connect with people at a practical human level, because the practical material level, it affects the spiritual. So rather than simply seeing this as spiritual and this as material, we see instead that this is spiritual, and then there is pro-material, that is sattvic, there is non-material, that is rajasic, and there is anti-material, that is spiritual. And we can connect with them at the sattvic and sometimes even the rajasic level, because it is potentially spiritualizable. The spiritual material difference, it doesn't have to be only in terms of effect, it only in terms of content. The spiritual material difference is also in terms of application. Not just constitution, but also application. And that seeing, be able to see that, that is very important. And last I talk about C is, it's completeness and compassion. So completeness means we are concerned for the complete being, not just one side of the being. Otherwise, that's why, why should we be concerned about the complete being? Because while the soul needs to be spiritually harmonized, but the mind body also need to be materially harmonized in to grow spiritually. The spiritual harmony comes through bhakti, and material harmony comes through understanding swabhava and harmonizing with the swabhava. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita repeats, both verses related to spiritual harmony and with material harmony. In this way, when we have completeness, then our compassion will actually have a complete effect in helping and elevating people. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Jyoti Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, respected Prabhuji. Please accept my respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Prabhuji, the point of sustainability was very good. I mean, I was just looking for that point. I understood a bit of it. I'll try to apply. My question was, there is a need of astrology in some point or the other in our life, because there are a lot of crises and there are the situations which are beyond our control. So, being in devotion, even though we understand that the Bhagavad Gita and the devotional process, even though it is a practical after being chanting for 2 years, still we, in the middle of crisis, we tend to find out the solutions when the situation is out of control. So after reading that astrology, I realized that all the past incidents, what has happened was supposed to happen, means it was destined. And then the future is also, means now I'm trying to conclude that the future is also destined. Then what the bhakti is going to actually do to us? Is it that this process will be completely isolated from what is our destiny or what is going to happen? Because we are trying to do bhakti and we want to make sure that the situation is far
If by astrology we come to know that we try to make sense of some past adversities and we come to know they were destined, then we may wonder that if my destiny is anyway going to happen, then what does bhakti actually do?
Yes.
So it's important to understand that specifically how this will interact. It's complicated. Kahana karmano gati, Krishna says. Now, but the important thing is, what does destiny determine? And what does it not determine? Destiny determines our situations. The situations that come in our life, they are determined by destiny. But destiny does not determine our decisions, our actions. It's like if we go to a particular place, if we are going on a company's work, the company may give us a particular car. And that car has certain set of features. It doesn't have certain set of features. So now, that we can't control. That is the kind of car we have got. And then the conference is at a particular place. So the weather over there is going to be a particular way. The traffic situation is going to be a particular way. Those situations are not in our control. But how we drive over there, that's in our control. Maybe say somebody, there's a party where there are drinks, but suppose somebody drinks and then they drives. They say, you only gave me the drink. The company only gave me a drink. The company only gave me a car. Okay, but the company didn't tell you to drink and drive. That was your mistake. So the important thing is that our actions are not determined by destiny. They are determined by us. Now, destiny also works under Krishna, and Krishna can change the situations also. But a devotee does not expect or demand from Krishna. When we focus on our bhakti practice, now that can change the situations also. But so change due to bhakti practice. So what changes? Now changing situations, that is in Krishna's hands. And he can do it. When he will do it, how he will do it, we don't know. But changing actions, actually we can be empowered to do that. Be empowered by bhakti. And in that sense, say we were supposed to meet with an accident by destiny. But if we have been practicing bhakti, we are relatively conducting asana satva guna, we're driving carefully. And then we see it from that side, a person is driving in a very jerky way. Maybe that person is drunk and that person is barreling towards us. Now, if we are also driving recklessly, we are driving negligently, then we crash headlong into that car. And the impact is much more. And we notice and we move our car aside, and that same person is coming, that person hits us, but they hit us in a way that the impact is much lesser. So that's just a mundane example. But just being able to make better choices can significantly reduce the impact of the destined negative situations. So by destiny, maybe I'm in a relationship and that person with my relationship is going to go through something and they're going to become very angry with me. They're going to be very unreasonable. They're going to be even behave in terrible ways. But that's a phase. Maybe that phase will go in a week, a month or whatever. If at that time I also become angry, I also become violent, that whole relationship may crumble. But if I can be a little patient, not that we take abuse in the name of patience, but we're just patient, we are trying to be kind, that phase goes and things can be restored. So bhakti can change the situations, but a devotee does not demand that. Bhakti can change our actions, and that is something which we can pray to Krishna for. Krishna, please guide me. How can I serve you in this situation? And sometimes this question, how can I serve you, that can seem very abstract. Okay, I'm going through this situation where, say, my relationship is crumbling or somebody, a loved one, is going through a health situation. What does it mean? If you understand that Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone, how can I serve you means, how can I act to make things better? Because ultimately, Krishna being the well-wisher of everyone means that Krishna wants things to be better. And Krishna often acts in this world through us, his human agents. So if we keep that attitude, then our bhakti will help us to make better choices. And thus, the effects of destiny, even if they are negative, won't be that negative. Okay.
Prabhuji, can I ask one question?
Okay. Can we come back to you?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, okay. Yes, Gail Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to your analogy of the microphone that is sometimes used for birthday party celebrations, sometimes used for preaching purposes. So it seems that whether something is material or spiritual has two factors, you know, a functional factor and a, I don't know if the word should be ontological factor. So
composition, that's the word I use. Okay, go ahead. Ontological.
Composition, yeah. So So whether, regardless of the purpose for which the microphone is being used, right, it is always compositionally material, is it not?
Yeah, that is one way of differentiating it. And that's why there is, in the broad Vedic body of knowledge, if you consider the Vedic body of knowledge, there are two approaches. The Vedanta approach, which is a radical matter-spirit differentiation, that everything material has to be given up and we have to turn toward the spiritual. That's why, say, in the Advaitic Sampradaya, which claims to be Vedantic, they say your real spiritual life begins only after you take sannyas. Till before that, it's all like a practice run. Mm-hmm. So, but there is also tantra. Now, the word tantra has a negative connotation, but that is only because of one kind of tantra which involves all, which claims that everything material can be used. So even they say that sambhog to samadhi, you have sex and through sex you grow spiritually. Well, maybe, but that is sex done for procreative purpose. But is there any kind of sex? It's all spiritual. That tantra has a negative connotation. But tantra has the idea that material can be used to go to the spiritual. Now, bhakti incorporates both elements. Bhakti has a Vedantic aspect, but bhakti also has a significant one tantra aspect. Deity worship is tantra. It is the Lord manifests through matter to give us opportunity to reach him. the deity is not matter, but the deity is manifesting in objects that are made of material elements. So we understand that the deity is much more than matter because Krishna has manifested through it. But at the same time, Krishna has manifested in particular matter. So we have the tantra approach also. So I would say that in general, in the bhakti practice, we don't make this very radical differentiation. And constantly analyzing, is this material, is this spiritual, is this material, is this spiritual? That is not a very productive way of functioning. It's much better to focus on how can I serve Krishna in this situation? How can this be used in Krishna's service? So, you know, that viveka buddhi, that differentiation between matter and spiritual, that discernment is important. But more important than discernment, if you consider bhakti, discernment is important, but much more important is service attitude. So we focus on the service attitude, and then we don't really have to worry too much about whether this is material or whether this is spiritual. How are we going to differentiate that? If I have a plate of prasad, then if, you know, maybe initially when I say the prayers, I have a devotional consciousness. And then as I start tasting the prasad, something tastes good, something doesn't taste good. And I want more of that which tastes good, and I want less of that which doesn't taste good. So is my consciousness going from spiritual to material? Okay, does that mean that the prasad which I'm tasting as material, based on its material taste, I'm taking more? Is it material? Is it spiritual? Well, it depends on its connection with Krishna. It was offered to Krishna, that's why it's spiritual. So the point is, even when you say functional, functional means you could put it that two ways. Even functional or applicational, it can mean function for which Krishna meant it. Function for which Krishna provided it, and function for which we are using it. The two are for which we use it, or we are presently using it. So from the functional perspective, from the first functional perspective, everything Krishna has given us as a resource to come closer to him, to attain him. So the beauty in this world can be a source of great maya, but the beauty in this world can also remind us of Krishna's beauty. And that is the whole principle of vibhuti. Vibhuti is that Krishna manifests attractively in this world to remind us of something that is supremely attractive, that is he himself. So my focus would be that don't get too much analytical about differentiating material spiritual. Just focus on the principle of service and how we can be engaged in service, how others can be engaged in service, and how things can be engaged in service. Okay?
Well, you brought up the prasadam, and I wish you had answered that your own question, actually. But when the person is making that distinction between what they like, what they don't like, even though, you know, prasadam.
No, I answered that question that, say, if I am here, that's what I said, that if I am here, Krishna is here, and say the plate of prasadam is here. So, or let me put it this way here. So if I am here, prasad is here. So now, is the prasad spiritual depending on how I see it? Or is the prasad spiritual because it has been offered to Krishna? So that's why I said there are two definitions of functional. Function based on connection with us. So we focus on the point that from the connection with Krishna, everything is spiritual. So I talk about from the composition approach, nothing in the material world is spiritual. And that is not the approach that bhakti is, that the bhakti tradition uses. That is rarely the approach that the bhakti tradition uses. So Krishna consciousness means to be focusing more, be more conscious of the function for which Krishna made something rather than the function for which it is being currently used. So from that perspective, everything can be spiritualized. And we focus on the spiritual
point. Yeah, but I also want to make the point that in the case of prasadam, depending on a person's approach to prasadam, it can have greater or lesser spiritual benefit.
Okay. Yes, that's true. That's true. What is because prasadam? That is true even for the holy name. The holy name, insists is non-different from Krishna, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborately differentiates that depending on the consciousness with which the person is chanting, the effect of the holy name will depend. That is Nama Aparad, Nama Bhas, and Shuddha Nam. So naturally, so there is the connection. Just because do we devalue, oh, this person is drunk and they're participating in Kirtan, in mundane consciousness, what is the use of such chanting? At that time, we don't devalue. At least they're chanting, however they're chanting. So we are focusing not on so much in how they are connecting with the holy name. We are focusing on the fact that the holy name is connect with Krishna. The holy name is not different from Krishna. So that's why when to focus here on the connection of a thing with Krishna and when to focus on the way a person is connecting with that thing. That requires some carefulness, some thoughtfulness.
Okay. Thank you, Guru.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes, Laitangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very wonderful insight into the practical application of this verse. So my question is regarding application of this rec concepts with respect to newcomers and also with existing devotees. Is there anything, I mean, you can guide us on, is it different, or is it the same, or we have to stress something more with respect to devotees?
See, it depends on needs. If somebody has come to Vrindavan, for example, now, if they have come to Vrindavan for a tour of Vrindavan, maybe at that time we start talking about them, okay, how is your home, how is your career, how is your job, all these things. Well, they want to put that aside. They want to focus on Krishna. So maybe if you're in Vrindavan, we focus on Krishna Katha. But if I'm talking about devotees also, it's sometimes we just have to try to understand where devotees are at. And if there's some major thing going on in their life, then that we need to spend time on that. Generally, as we focus more and more with devotees, as we connect more and more with devotees, the Guhyam Akhyati Prichyati will be more and more centered on Krishna. So we could say that in principle, for new people, their consciousness is going to be more on the mind-body thing. And that's why we'll talk more about that. When we're focused on, we're talking with senior devotees, we'll focus on Krishna more directly. But it doesn't have to mean necessarily like that. Sometimes new people may also have a lot of spiritual interest. That's the fourth category of people, Jnani, Krishna says. And even devotees may sometimes have time, there may be situations when they have to go through a lot of material upheavals. So it's almost like yatha mam prapadyante. We try to understand where the person is at. And rather than having a rigid principle, we try to reciprocate. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Pralhadan Prabhu.
Adhan Vatranam Prabhu.
Nanda Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Oh, thank you very much, Prabhuji. You know, my question is, the discourse you gave is, looks like it is unidirectional in the sense that, you know, I'm interacting with others. But what about the, you know, reverse? How I can get also affected by their consciousness? So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that if I am completely mature in my practices, then only I can preach. Otherwise, you know, I can get affected by their consciousness and you have fallen down. I have even heard that some sannyasis fell in love with the therapist and he, you know, he can't be, even he was a sannyasi for a long time like that. So the reverse process, how can we prevent that? I'm completely afraid of, you know, interacting with mundaneness because, you know, you try to talk to them mundane, they also talk mundane, and soon as you start talking about Lord Krishna, this, that, they're not interested. They just kind of neglect you. This is my experience. So what do we do in such situations, Prabhu?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about situations where social interaction is happening. And it is, say, we could say we can interact with people at multiple places. Let's consider we are interacting with people in a temple or a devotional setting. So it could be a home program. It could be a place where that's one place we are interacting. And that means there's a basic spiritual expectation, spiritual environment. And there, talking something material just helps them connect better. Is it that we are going to get caught in talking material? Well, not necessarily. They have come there with a spiritual expectation. Now, there could be, apart from that, there could be a hope setting. There could be a job setting. Or there could be some social setting. You know, we have gone to some social event or something like that. Now, it depends on us. See, each person has their nature. And if somebody's primary concern is the fear that I may be affected by their consciousness, then that clearly means that they are not suited for doing much outreach. So they can do services which focus more on inreach. If Prabhupada had been afraid that, if I leave Vrindavan, I'll fall in material consciousness, he would never have left Vrindavan. So if we find that we have some material discussion as a starting point, and then if that helps them to connect with, to become more receptive to spiritual, that's good. If it's not, then that doesn't necessarily mean that we keep talking about the material. We move on with life. Everybody is busy. And nobody has time to spend hours and hours and hours. And if they find, and generally one of the advantages of the relative liberal atmosphere in today's world is that if we don't encroach in people's space, people won't encroach in our space. We might talk a few casual things about something mundane. And then if they find that, if we find that doesn't open any spiritual doors, we continue our work. And it's rare, only very intrusive kind of people. If we are not interested in talking, they will just keep talking. And if that is a problem, that can be a problem with anyone. That can be a problem with even people who are devotees. So that's why I said service attitude is important. Discernment is also important. Service attitude means we make an attempt to connect with people at a level where they are at so that we can bring them to a higher level. But discernment means that it's like, say, if I am here and this person is here. So now, rather than expecting that person to make a high jump for them to come from there to here, we try to build a bridge for them. So that building a bridge is, and the build bridge, that is our service attitude. That is where I was talking about, that we help people to come towards Krishna. But if we find that after building the bridge, that person is not interested in coming with Krishna, and just leave that person with on a polite note, they just feel that, okay, it's a nice person that I met. And that's good enough. Maybe that's the Agyan Sukruti. That is all that they are ready to receive. So we discern if we find that this bridge, the purpose of this bridge to help them come up. But if we find that that bridge is causing us to go down, then stop that interaction. So service attitude is in building the bridge, but I talk about discernment. Discernment is Viveka Buddhi. We also have to have discernment. Okay, I've built the bridge now. What is happening after it? We have to consider, is it that they are opening to come up? Or they're opening themselves to come up? Or am I going down? If I'm going down, then no need to be involved with that bridge so much. We can build that bridge for someone else. That differentiation we always have to do. So without that, we won't be able to function in any area of life. What to speak of spiritual life, spiritual material interaction, or like interacting with people who are not devotees. Even when interacting with devotees, sometimes some devotees talk about things which are not so interesting for us, not so relevant for our service. A devotee will be talking about this happened here in this hour moment and that happened over there. If that is not of interest or relevance to us, then although we have built a bridge with them, even that bridge, we don't have to necessarily sustain that or walk on that. Okay?
Practically what I do is to pass on small books of Srila Prabhupada. That much interaction I do. Otherwise, you know, I fear that, you know, I might get deeper into the mundane, you know, prajalp and all kind of thing. So this is what little I am trying to do. I think this would also, you know, enhance my service attitude.
Yes, different people connect at different levels to people. If you give books, it depends on how people see it. People can see it as, you know, we are giving them something helpful. People can see it as we are just religious zealots who don't care about them. And we just care about thrusting our ideology down their throats. And it depends. I'm not saying people always see like that. There are some people who see like that. So we do what we can. Not everybody has to do every service. But what shouldn't be done is to make a principle out of our preference. That this is the only level of interaction that everybody should be having. Anybody who interacts more with people who are materialistic, they are going to be into Maya. That may be our preference. Mm-hmm. So principle out of preference when we make it, that is when there is judgmentality. And then that's where eventually it can become even extremist or fanatical. So some devotees may prefer to have very functional interactions with people. Some people may choose to have more personal interactions. And that depends on person to person. In this case, there is no right or wrong about how each individual should function. I'm talking about the principle. The principle is that most people will rise from the material to the spiritual. And that means we have to go to the material level to help them rise to the spiritual level. But if you're going to the material level and we're sinking over there, that's a danger which obviously has to be avoided. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Sukhakar Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu. You told it, in the end, you told that understanding psycho-physical nature is that Prabhupada has taught us that when we go and meet devotees, we should find out what is their likes and dislikes. Just gel with them, become their friends, and then talk about the thing which they like. As you said, if they like, they're Brahminical, then give them books. Or if they want, if they're more of leadership nature, give them some management. Like that, you have to first open out their heart and, you know, find out their likes and hobbies. Like that, then only they start the, not just please them, that take this bead chant.
So is that a comment or a question?
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. From what you are told, what I can understand is that way we start.
Certainly, we want everyone to be able to chant the holy names. And talking about chanting is a good thing. At the same time, even as devotees, it is not that chanting is the only thing we are doing in bhakti. We are engaging various, so it's like, if you see this person is here and then Krishna is here. So now we would like to have as many connections with Krishna as possible with them. We try to offer them as many connections as possible. And then which connection they walk on, they develop the most. It's up to them. So holy name is definitely the Yuga Dharma. Holy name as a connection needs to be given. But if that is the only thing we are giving, and if they are not interested, then there will be no link with Krishna. So in one sense, from our side, we can observe and we can say, we can give them some kind of, if somebody likes music, we connect them with some Hare Krishna Kirtan. If somebody likes some motivational talk, we can give something just devotionally motivational. Some talks with devotees are given like that. Somebody likes some katha, some nice entertaining stories. We can give them some Mahabharata, Rama and Bhagavad stories. So like that, we offer them multiple connections and then we see where they connect. So it's not that we don't give the holy name. Certainly that's not the point. It's that we offer them multiple connections and it's like we explore by offering multiple connections. And then we see which they are more interested in, which they reciprocate with. Okay.
And you ultimately give them prasadam that will make them happy too.
Yeah, I think that is a connection which works with everyone, almost everyone. So Krishna is all attractive. The manifestation of Krishna's all attractiveness, that is all attractive, right now also is Krishna Prasad.
Prabhupada's movement was known as Prasadam movement. Somebody said that.
Yeah, the kitchen religion. The kitchen religion, as it was called.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Sri Shomasit Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so very much for your wonderful, wonderful explanation on how to continue to please Krishna. I wanted to ask you about two verses that you had wrote. I think it was 934 and 1865. And yes. The other one was that from the Srimad Bhagavatam?
No, both were Bhagavad Gita. I said Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, so, yeah, those two, but you did 335 in 1847. Is that all of them from Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, that is, I can just check whether it is 46, 47, 48. Maybe one of them, someone can check and tell also. Shreyans for Dharma Vigunitis.
Jai. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Happy to be of service. Yes, Jyoti Mata, you'll conclude with this.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is, you said that there will be decision as per destiny. So I want to know, will there be change?
Situation will be as per destiny, not decision.
But decisions will be taken as per the situations.
No, but as I said that if we are...
My question means, will there be a change in decision if we know the destination, if we know the destiny, even if we try to pray to Krishna?
Yes, definitely. I said that not that the decisions are made solely based on situations. The decisions based on our consciousness, our priorities. Like for example, sometimes even astrologers, they don't really tell, they can't change the situations, but they may say, okay, you are going through Shani Dasha now, don't take any major decisions right now. Because at this time, you might be influenced in a negative way, and you might take decisions that are impulsive, that are destructive. So we do have certain restraint over our decisions. And as we practice bhakti, So the decision situation could be that, you know, say a person we are in a relationship with starts behaving in a very unreasonable way. And the decision we might take is, there's no point in being in this relationship. Just get rid of this whole thing. But as I said, maybe that's just a phase that person is going through. And that phase may end. So is the decision only in response to the situation? No. The situation does matter. In fact, the whole principle of our response being we as responsible means that our decisions, as we know, responsibility is response plus ability, the ability to choose our response. That means that our decisions are not solely functions of situations. They're not solely determined by solely functions of situations. Rather, they are also functions of the decisions that we make. They are determined also by our values. They are determined by our priorities, our principles. So many things matter in our decisions. Situations are certainly one factor, but it could be our values. The same person in a similar provocation, one person might just break down themselves. Another person might just break the other person down. A third person might just break the relationship. The fourth person might become stronger and wait for that other person to change. And the relationship also becomes stronger. So what it changes is bhakti, it strengthens our values. And when our values are strengthened by bhakti practice, then that can reshape our decisions. Does it address your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. About the intrapersonal, about the psychophysical nature you said, is there any particular book on that?
I don't think anything has been written till now. Urmila Mataji has written the book, writing a book on career dharma. It will come out soon. So she had given it to me to read. So it's quite a good book. So I think devotees are writing. If you search on my website, The Spiritual Scientist, also for understanding nature, you'll find some talks on that topic.
Okay. Prabhuji, I want to add a little bit. One of my friend who is to come to just listen once or twice, I was trying to share my bhakti, the devotional experience, then a sort of preaching. She met an accident and there was a hole nearby her eye, right eye. And as we got to know about it, we immediately rushed to the hospital and she was out of danger. Very soon she is still recovering. Then we took her this case to the astrologer and we asked. So he told that she was about to die. And then he told that she will die and she was supposed to die. And there is nothing beyond that. So how we should take it? Now she is very serious about bhakti, as I was telling her very sincerely, like, you should do all this. Then is this a real mercy of Krishna Bhagwan that he took care of her?
Certainly we can see it like that. That's anukul to bhakti. So if that astrologer is saying that it was an accident, it was meant to be fatal. Yes. And if that has not happened, then definitely we can see a divine intervention, a divine hand in that. And we, as you're rightly doing, you're encouraging her to practice bhakti. That's a very positive thing to do. Rather than simply be, feel traumatized, or why this accident happened to me, that this is a second chance for living that I have. And it has been given by divine mercy. Let me use it properly. That's a very, very, very auspicious way of looking at things.
So, but after accident, she is practicing devotion with very sincerity. And I am understanding that I am not that sincere enough, even though I understand why it is happening so, Prabhuji. Is the crisis deteriorating me on a mundane level? I'm not able to uplift my devotional practices. Sometimes I'm very down because of all this crisis.
Try to find that. There are different kinds of crisis also. We all are hit to different degrees in different areas of life. So like a one-time crisis that comes, a sudden accident and there's some seemingly miraculous intervention by which you're saved, that can re-transform our priorities. But sometimes there is some other kind of problem which is more persistent. If somebody has a long-term health crisis, somebody has a long-term financial or relational issue, that can, different crises can affect different people differently. So one kind of crisis make a person come closer to Krishna. But the same person in another crisis, that may weaken their devotion also. So don't worry too much. It is not that crisis is the cause of bhakti. You know, if this crisis are the cause of bhakti, then we could say all people who get cancer, they will all be serious devotees. All people who have an accident will become serious devotees. It's not that simple. It's a very complex and in some ways indeterminate set of causes that leads to seriousness in bhakti. We try to understand whatever is possible for us to understand, and we try to do whatever is doable for us. And Krishna is an understanding God. So if you have some devotees who are close to you, try to talk with them and try to get a better understanding of yourself. Okay, what exactly is going on in our mind, in our life? And how is it affecting my devotion? What exactly, when I say I'm not being serious about bhakti, what does it mean for me? Is it there XYZ activities? If I'm doing, that's when I think I'm serious, and other activities, they don't matter. So if that is the case, then what is stopping me from those XYZ activities? Like I said, there have been multiple connections with Krishna. Sometimes
my attention level is going very down, Prabhuji. I'm not able to, my attendance level, attentiveness level is gone down. I'm not attentive while chanting also.
That's okay. That's a universal problem for everyone. Try to hear something about the holy name, its glories. Try to hear something about the glory of Krishna as a person. and then try to dwell on that when you're chanting. So instead of say, this is the holy name, and if our mind can't focus on the holy name, the mind goes all over the world.
Yes.
But instead of that, if this is the holy name, and around that is something connected with Krishna. It could be Leela, it could be Tattva. So here something directly connected with the holy name, so that even if the mind doesn't focus here, can't focus, at least let it go here. Let it go here. You give it some range of directions. So what we try to do is, rather than making it 1-0, we try to create some boundaries for our mind. Okay, the mind can't focus on the holy name. Let it focus on something connected with Krishna at least. Have some pastimes or pictures around you and try to hear about that pastime. And then you contemplate on that pastime while you're chanting the holy names. That's not as good as directly focusing on the sound of the holy name, but that's better than simply letting the mind wander. So it doesn't have to be 1-0. We try to provide ourselves the help that we need. That way we can refocus. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Vanta. Jai.
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 Grateful to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.